A young man had gone to propose to his girlfriend and returned home crying bitterly. "What happened, son?" his father asked, eagerly awaiting the response. "Did she accept?" "No, she sure didn't," sobbed his son. When I told her what you advised me to say, she slapped my face and told me to get out." The dad said, "Did you begin by telling her what I told you to say, what I told your mother when she accepted my proposal?" "Sweetheart, time stands still when I look at your face." "Did you tell her that?" the father asked. "Oh boy, Dad, did I get it all wrong?" the son said. "I said, my dear, you have a face that would stop a clock." We do not live in a world that has a media that is always going to tell us the truth. But what are we to do with scandal? The church very clearly calls for us in the preparation for Advent to prepare joyously for the coming of the Lord, but because of some news reports, it's just amazing to me how easy it is for the devil to turn us aside from that and start to consider other things, totally leaving preparation of the Lord behind and just talking about how we should hate on Pope Francis, how we should not listen to him, because after all, isn't he just a communist and a Marxist? This is not new. When John the Baptist heard in prison of the works of the Messiah, not exactly what he was expecting, but as the Father sent his Son, the physician of souls, to do, he sent his disciples to Jesus with this question: "Are you the one who is to come, or should we look for another?" John was having doubts because of scandalous things he was hearing. Jesus said to them in reply, "Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind regain their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have the good news proclaimed to them. And blessed is the one who takes no offense at me." In the Douay Rheims version, it is, "Blessed is the one who is not scandalized by me." Offense and scandal were used many times in relation to Jesus and his ministry. But this ultimately goes back to what the prophets themselves spoke. I'm thinking in a particular way, the prophet Isaiah chapter 8, verses 14 and 15. "Then he will become a sanctuary, but to both houses of Israel he will be a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and a snare and a trap for the inhabitants of Jerusalem." We should never gloat in giving offense, which is absolutely necessary in preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. We labor to remove every possible barrier. May the offense not be our personality or carelessness or quirkiness or arrogance, and never let it especially be our fear as an obstacle to the power of the cross. Like St. Paul reminds us, let us endure anything rather than put an obstacle in the way of the gospel of Christ. also let strain to become all things to all people, that by all means we might save some. And let's do everything in our power to give no offense to the Jews or to the Greeks or to the church of God. But the one offense, the offense of the cross, we cannot remove, nor can we ever be stingy with the fruits of the cross. In one of his general audiences, Pope Francis reminds us, the apostolic zeal that should enliven the church and every Christian, today let us look at the unsurpassable model of proclaiming Jesus. The Christmas Day Gospel defines him as the Word of God. The fact that he is the Logos, that is the Word, highlights an essential aspect of Jesus. He is always in relation, outgoing, never isolated, always in relation, outgoing. The Word, in fact, exists to be transmitted, communicated. So it is with Jesus, the eternal Word of the Father, reaching out to us, communicated to us. Christ not only has the words of life, but makes his life a word, a message. That is, he lives always turned toward the Father and toward us, always looking at his Father who sent him and looking at us to whom he was sent. Indeed, to sum up the action of the church in one word, precisely the term pastoral is always used. And to evaluate our pastoral work, we need to confront ourselves with the model, confront ourselves with Jesus, Jesus the Good Shepherd. Above all, we can ask ourselves, do we imitate him, drinking from the wells of prayer, so that our heart might be in harmony with his? Intimacy with Jesus is, as a beautiful volume by Abbot Chartraud suggested, the soul of every apostolate. Jesus himself clearly said it to his disciples, apart from me, you can do nothing. If we stay with Jesus, we discover that his pastoral heart always beats for the person who is confused, lost, far away. And ours? How many times do we express our attitude toward people who are a bit difficult or with whom we have a bit of difficulty, but it's their problem? Let them work it out. But Jesus never said this, never. Instead, he always went to meet all the marginalized, the sinners. And this was seen as scandalous. He was accused of this, of being with sinners, because he brought God's salvation precisely to them. Thank God the Father. Please do not let a hostile world distract us from our primary focus of this season. Do not let the evil one turn hearts to hatred for Pope Francis, who many are accusing of being scandalous, which itself is scandalous in the face of our obligation to always will the good of the other. And yes, our Lord was accused many times of being scandalous in bringing the gospel to sinners. But it is an even bigger scandal for us to let the world rob us of the joy of the season and the reason we are saved, the charity of God made flesh, Jesus Christ. And so I leave us all with that old axiom: if you're going to err, err on the side of charity.